Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, you guys made it. How many of you like haven't been to bed yet? You just went from party to church, right? And this is you're just going all straight through. So glad you're here this morning. What a perfect way to begin a new year, right? To come together with God's people, to worship Him, focus on Him. There really could be nothing more important or a better way to start our new year together.
Blessed God, we come to you this morning on this New Year's Day 2012, aware that you make all things new. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And we are so grateful that you lead us to new places, because without you, Lord, we just walk in the same rutted paths again and again. Thank you that you long for us to experience the heights, that you bring us to places where we can feed abundantly, and that you never, ever abandon us, that you are here with us right now this morning, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's on our hearts. And we praise you, Lord, for who you are, that your mercies are new every morning, just as Dan shared with the children, and that no matter what we've experienced in the past, your promises to us are renewed, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, we can expect miracles in our lives. Thank you for your abundant mercy and grace to us, a grace that calls us to come to you in prayer, and your promise to us that when we ask with a grateful, open, sincere heart, you do answer us, that you do come and you begin to work on our behalf. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning in this new year, hopeful, expectant, and throwing ourselves on your mercy, because we know that that is our only hope. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins, anything that's blocking us from complete and total communion with you, and that you would set us free to worship you with all our hearts, to be honest before you, and to be awed again by the wonder of your love. Lord, we thank you so much for Kevin and his ministry among us. It seemed as if he just came at the right moment when we needed somebody to step into the worship director slot and lead us. And we thank you for him. And we pray that as he leaves us, as this is his last Sunday with us, that you would guide him, direct him, and just make the way plain before him. Thank you for his gifts in ministry and music, for his gifts of speaking that we have benefited from. And Lord, just be with him. And thank you that we were able to have him with us for the time that we were. Lord, we lift up Matt this morning, our youth director, and pray that you would comfort him and heal his grandmother who's in the hospital as he stands by her and comforts her. Lord, we ask for complete and total healing there. And we thank you for all that Matt has done to reach out to the youth in our community. And we see it in the fruit that is born in the youth group for its growth. And for all the wonderful things that are going on there. Lord, be with him as he launches this after-school program this month. We pray, Lord, that you would bring all the children, all the kids, all the youth that you want in that program here, that they might meet you and know that you are their Savior and their friend, and begin a new life with you. Lord, we pray with Carol for the class of 2012, for the high school and the college students who will be moving forward in this semester and graduating. The seniors will be graduating. Lord, we ask that you would put your hand upon all of our young folks who are studying so hard, that you would lead them and guide them, and that you would call them to serve you first and put you first in their lives. We pray for the search for the new music director in Kevin's wake. Lord, we ask that you would provide exactly the right person that we need here at West Valley. Open the doors and help that person to come. Lord, you've been faithful in the past to bring us wonderful folks, and we just trust you now right now for the future and for the continuing excellence of the music ministry here, which is so much a part of this church. Lord, we pray for Bill, who started a new business. We pray for success and peace in his life, and that you would guide his every step as he begins this new venture in these difficult times. We lift up Pat's grandson-in-law as he is looking for a new call. We ask, Lord, that you would open the doors for him and that you would allow him to sense your presence and know your love and walk exactly where you want him to be. We pray with Orville for his cousin Kim and ask for healing from the cancer that she received news that she has. Lord, cancer is such a devastating illness, and just pray that you'd lift her spirits and use this, Lord, as an opportunity to draw her closer to you. We pray for safe journeying for Adam and Anna as they go to Kentucky. And thank you for Adam's message to us on Christmas Day and for his gifts in leadership and teaching. And Lord, just bless them both as they continue in their life together, that you would bring them peace and healing and much abundance. Lord, with Bill, we lift up his friend Wendy, whose father had a massive stroke and then whose mom had a heart attack right after that. Lord, it seems so difficult at times when one thing goes wrong. Sometimes other things, the dominoes just start to fall. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring healing and the grace of your presence to that situation, and that you'd be with Bill as he stands by Wendy. I pray for that situation. I lift it to you. I ask that you would work in these circumstances to bring glory and honor to yourself and to draw them too closer to you. Lord, I pray for Cosette's aunt who fell off a ski lift, and I ask for healing for her back. Lord, I thank you that you are the great physician and that all who came to you, you touched and healed. I pray, Lord, that you would help her to also realize the support and the care and love of those around her at this time. And Lord, there's many other things going on in our lives that we haven't lifted up to you. And I pray that you would hear those prayers and come close to us and minister to any who has a need this morning in this new year. We also pray for our community. As January is a service worship month, we pray that our service to you would be pleasing in your sight. I ask, Lord, too, for our world and its turmoil and its unrest, that you would guide the leaders and those in charge, and that your purposes might be fulfilled. Lord, thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you have heard our prayers. And in faithfulness to you, we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Kim. And thank you all for the blessings and the encouragement that you have been. This has been a joy for Christine and I to be with you guys for 4 months. And you got to see us get married, not physically see us get married, but you know, during this time we got married. And so, but thank you just for the encouragement. And this has been very much a blessing in our life and in my life. And I just love the privilege of working with the musicians and to be a part of this church. So thank you for that. A couple of weeks ago, Kim and I were talking about this New Year's Day service and trying to draw short straws to see who was going to preach and all that kind of stuff. But trying to see, you know, how do we want to craft this service? And we thought just taking a couple of little devotional thoughts. And so I was thinking what I wanted to share. And I love this story in Luke chapter 7. I love it for some of the obvious reasons and then maybe for some ones that maybe aren't quite as clear. But in the middle of chapter 7 of Luke, Jesus, it says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, And as the bearer stood still, he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. What a great story. It doesn't appear that Jesus is heading to Nain just to do this, to attend this funeral. It looks like they're traveling in, and as they're heading into the gate, out from the gate, comes this very sad picture of a woman who we find out not only did she lose her son, it's her only son, and she's a widow, so she is alone. She's absolutely alone in this world. And we see Jesus doing what every one of us hope he would do, right? He stops the funeral. He says to the guy on that, to the body they're carrying on top of the pallet, he says, "Get up." And the guy sits up and starts talking, and it goes on to describe how everyone obviously gave glory to God for that. Isn't it amazing that as we begin the new year, we have a Messiah who stops funerals and who will say to dead things and dead people in our life, "Get up," and he heals it. And that power that we have in Christ is overwhelming. And I hope you find great hope in that. I know I sure do. But I was also thinking about all the funerals that Jesus walked past that he didn't interrupt. And all the widows and all the grieving moms that, you know, we don't know in Scripture. We have to believe this wasn't the only funeral procession Jesus encountered in his travels, right? And how many times did he walk past and see the story, see into the eyes of the grieving parent or something like that, and he just kept walking? And how many times Jesus didn't do the miracle that we hoped for? How many times in your life, in my life, do we have the miracle, the thing that we dare to ask God for, healing the child of a disease, providing the job, saving the marriage, doing what only God could do? And occasionally he does, right? Occasionally he blows our mind. But it seems like more often than not, Jesus and his disciples kind of keep walking. And it's so easy, at least for me, at times, to be very disappointed with a Messiah who can and yet chooses not to. And so what do you do with that? Is he callous? Is he not caring? Is there's some grand thing that we are unaware of? So we start asking those why questions. And as we begin this new year, I don't know what you're carrying into 2012 with you. You might be figuratively carrying your only child out to the funeral, carrying something that only if God could do that. The thing I love about Jesus, though, is that it is his DNA to bring life from death. He can't help himself but bring life from death. In John chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so there must be some way he brings life that isn't just funeral stopping and dead people getting up. Sometimes there are miracles that he does that unless we're looking for them, we're going to miss. I remember several years ago when I was going through my own divorce journey, people would say, "You know, Kevin, can we pray for reconciliation?" And I said, "Yes, please do. But pray that I will have eyes to see whatever miracle God does." Because it's so often to see whatever that specific thing that we hold God accountable for, right? The reconciled marriage, the healed child. Unless God does it, we become disappointed with God. And I've spent way too many times having cups of coffee or talking with people who are just discouraged and disappointed with God because he didn't give them the miracle they were looking for. But yet, God's always bringing life from death. And we have to have eyes to look 360 degrees around us to see perhaps he's not going to raise the child from the pallet, but he's going to do some other miracle that we've never seen. There is always hope in our Savior. There is always life coming from death. And my prayer for you is my prayer for me that we will have eyes to see the miracle of life. That you will have ears to hear his words of hope and encouragement. They may not be the specific ones you're longing for, but there is life and there is healing, and he will still blow your mind with the miracle that he wants to provide for you this next year. And whatever that situation might be, it might be the job you're dreaming of. It might be your family learning to live through times you never thought possible, but there are miracles. It might be the healing that you're longing for. It might be a very dignified road to death. I don't know. But God provides that miracle, that life, because that's who he is. He is that kind of a Savior, that kind of Messiah, that one that will always bring life from death.
Well, I just have a brief meditation for you this morning, and there's a scripture that goes with it. It's from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, 15 to 20. In this scripture, Paul's talking about making the most of our time. So I thought that was good for New Year's meditation. Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's the scripture that this meditation is based on this morning. Paul says, be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity. Other translations say, actually translation is making the most of the time that you've been given. And guess what? That just got easier, because there are usually 365 days in a year, and this year is a leap year. There are 366 days in this year. So you have a whole day to catch up on everything that you haven't done by the time, whenever that is, rolls around. 366 days this year, which means in a leap year like this, we have 8,784 hours to live. Isn't that great? And then we have 527,040 minutes. And guess how many seconds there are in a leap year? There are only 12. You know, there's January 2nd, February 2nd. Yeah, I had to start the new year out with a little joke there. If you really want to know, there are 31,622,400 seconds in a leap year. That's a lot of seconds. And if you don't like the extra day, you can move to Samoa. They just turned their clocks forward 24 hours and missed the 30th of December entirely to get in line with all of their trade partners or something like that. So tomorrow never came for Samoa. But that's if you don't like the extra day. But with all of these big numbers and all these minutes and hours, you know, it's hard, kind of hard to imagine that we would run out of time. You know, in 1967, way back in the 60s, experts predicted that by this point, technology would be so advanced that the American work week would be only 22 hours long, and we would work only 27 weeks a year, and that the biggest problem would be in deciding what to do with all our leisure time. Somehow that prediction went right by me as far as that is concerned. Most of us in Silicon Valley, in this culture, are very, very busy. We're in a hurry. We walk fast and talk fast. I think San Francisco is about the third fastest city. They did this study on how fast people walked, and New York was one, Boston was one, San Francisco was up there, I think, number three. How fast people walked, how fast people talked. You know, we'll eat and we'll say, well, I got to run. And there's never enough hours in the day. They did a study, too, on the fact that most people felt like they were always a month behind and there wasn't enough, you know, time to catch up. You got an extra day. That's something this year, but not enough. So, you know, with all this running around, running, that's exactly what I think many people are doing. They're running around, you know, and not going anywhere. I wrote a book on a hamster wheel. Some of you have read it, you know, running in circles. We run round and round. And in the end, you have to ask yourself, what has really been accomplished with all this running around? Did I get anywhere? Did anything significant happen because of my running around. And I'm not saying there aren't mundane tasks that we have to do. You know, the trash needs to get taken out. We need to fill the car with gas, pick up the kids, grandkids from school. You know, I have the lovely task of clipping my chihuahua's toenails once in a while. Otherwise, he starts to look like a freak. You know, that's not exactly a mountaintop experience for me, right? I've decided to take him to the vet, actually, and have them do it. But there's stuff like that that we have to do in our lives, right? Not always mountaintop experiences. And yet, at the same time, I see our culture getting increasingly distracted and fragmented. You know, again, we're running here and there, but we're not taking time to push that pause button in our life and ask the question, am I spending my time and effort on the right things for the right reasons? And as Christians, we can also ask, who did God create me to be? What gifts do I have to offer the world? What is the one thing, not the 10 things, but what is the one thing I feel that God is calling me to do or to accomplish or grow into this year? And how might I cooperate with the Holy Spirit to get to that point? And we'll be talking more about that as we talk about the Holy Spirit. And it may be something as simple as, this year, I'm tired of living with the bitterness, the grudge that I'm holding from the past. And I want to let that go. I want to forgive someone. And I want to move freely into the future. And sometimes it takes a long time to forgive. Maybe that's the one thing the Holy Spirit is calling you to do with this year, this time. Or this year, I really want to get to know the Bible better. I don't know how to read the Bible in depth and get relevant points for my life. This year, I want to join a small group Bible study. Or I want to learn to pray this year. I'm gonna learn how to do that. And that's, why we put the Bible studies in the bulletin for this Sunday. And we'll be running those all month. Maybe you're thinking about the importance of family. Gosh, I'm so busy, I don't have time to spend with the most significant people in my life. I'm going to spend more time with them. Or I'm going to spend more time with my spouse. Things have been a little stressful lately. I'm going to get into marriage counseling. Or I am going to just spend time. We're going to do date nights. Those are the kinds of things that it could be God is calling you to do. But I would encourage you to just do one thing. Think about the one thing that God would like you to lean into, grow into this year. Because there's so many things we could be doing, and they're all good things. But at this time, it helps to push the pause button and think, Lord, show me. Show me the one thing, the calling that you've created me to do and to be. Don't be foolish, the scripture says. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And sometimes pushing the pause button too means that we let go of some things that we're doing, really good things, but maybe we're doing too many things. And maybe those things are burning us out. Churches are great burning people out, aren't they? We're doing a lot of good things, but it may not be the one thing that we're called to do. Make the most of the time, because the enemy would love it if we led fragmented, distracted, frantic lives. You know, there's nothing more destructive to our spiritual growth and transformation than running around without knowing what God is calling us to do, what our purpose is, who we were created to be, and doing things that are not in our gift mix, not what God has called. But when you find that place, you are, it's not always easy, you are ultimately fulfilled, and you're able to walk more in tandem with God's Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about that, too, in the month that follows. But one thing now, what I just want you to do is take a look at the bulletin. There's about 20 scriptures in there that I've chosen. And if you don't like any of those scriptures, you can, you know, choose your own scripture. Scriptures are all good. But think about, you know, what's the one thing, as I push the pause button in my life, that I want to accomplish this year, that I want to do that will help me grow spiritually in some way, shape, or form, and choose the scripture that's most relevant for you, okay, as you look at those scriptures. And you don't have to do it today, but because we'll run those all month, but choose a scripture for 2012 that's relevant to you. And then at the end of this month, we're going to do something with those scriptures, and I'll keep that as a surprise, okay? Choose a scripture. Choose just one scripture. Commit it to memory. Put it on your screensaver. Let that scripture inform you And you can choose it prayerfully, discerning what God is calling you to do. We are alive right now for a divine purpose. Every day you live is so important to God. And once you get that, then you begin to see how important it is that you make the most of your time, the time that God has given you. You are not here by accident. God caused you to be born at this time in history. You didn't decide that. And God will take you from this life at the right time. We don't decide that. So your life, every day that you wake up breathing, is a gift from God. Use it wisely. Prayerfully discern how to make the most of the time. And as we approach this table this morning, be aware that Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry, lasted 3 years. And yet his ministry shook heaven and earth. Jesus always knew what time it was. He knew what he was meant to do. He knew the purpose for which he had been called, which ended in the cross, which saved the world. He made the most of the time because he was always listening to the Holy Spirit. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. And the cross allows us to start again, as we've been saying. It's the theme of today, new beginnings, forgiveness. When we start on a track, we say, Lord, I want to know you better. And then we mess up. There's always forgiveness at this table. There's always forgiveness with our Lord and Savior. Jesus knew the purpose for which he had been called. He made the most of the time. And it ended in the cross, which is our salvation, which makes every morning new. So let's pray together and ask God to bless these elements as we partake of them. Lord God, we pray that you would take these elements of bread and juice, very common elements, to be used for your glory and honor this morning. May we receive this bread and this juice, aware of your love for us, aware of your great sacrifice for us, aware that we can always begin again because of your forgiveness at the cross. We're so grateful. Thank you, Lord, that you use common elements to reveal your grace to us. Because we are common people, we are sinners, and yet you receive us to yourself. Be with us as we take of these elements in faith, expecting and knowing that you will meet us here. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me. In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink of this cup in remembrance of me. Because as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember the Lord's death until I come again. As the Spirit leads you. As we were taking communion, I was thinking about that, how faithful God is to us. You know that every first Sunday of the month, we can come and take communion here. That's what we do. In the same way, God is there for you always. You know, always come to him and know that he will be faithful to you in this new year. As he has done in the past, he will do in the future. And you have a lot to look forward to this year, 2012, because he lives and he is faithful. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forever. Amen.